I sensed that God wanted to really encourage us this morning, that he wants us to be edified and built up. And there are some things that he wants to bring back to our remembrance, things that we may have forgotten because of all of the circumstances and challenges that we're facing and that we faced in the past 2.5 years, unprecedented challenges, things that we never thought we would experience. And for many of us, many of you, there have been a series of challenges that have just, it's like as soon as you get over one, there's another one lingering around the corner. And there are those that I have knowledge of, and there are some of those that I don't have knowledge of. You guys can be seated whenever you want to. There are those that only you know, and only God knows. But there are a few, there are some, as I said, that I'm aware of. And I thought about Emily Heath and her family. She faced a series of challenges where her mother passed. Then, shortly thereafter, her brother passed. Shortly thereafter, her sister passed. And shortly after that, her mother-in-law passed. I think about a Denise Sherwood and some of the Sherwood family and other members of the Sherwood families who had a series of situations like that. And I don't want to just zero in and I don't want to unearth things that might call you pain, but I believe this morning God wants to say, you're not forgotten. You're not forgotten. And you have questions. We all have questions. Our faith has been tested. Especially these last 2.5 years, our faith has been tested. And we have questions. We have the why that we are afraid to admit to. We don't know where that safe space is where we can say, you know, I really don't understand this. I believe I love God, and I'm doing my best to live for God, but there are some things that I just don't understand. And I believe that sometimes we, even as religious leaders or whatever we want to call ourselves, if we're not careful, we have a way of causing people to believe that death is a bad thing. But there's a scripture, and I still try to wrap my brain around it to understand, that says that precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of a saint. And we scathe over it. And we ask ourselves, I've asked myself, oh, how is that? And I just choose to believe that God is sovereign, first of all. God loves us. Even while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. God loves us. And when we get a hold of that, it makes it somewhat easier to trust that he really does have our best interests at heart, and he does cause all things to work together for good to those that love him and that are the called according to his purpose. I choose to hold on to that. And I want to just, I believe God wants us to be encouraged and not to lose heart, to not lose our footing. The enemy means it for evil. But there are some things in there that we will never understand here on this earth. We won't understand it. Our minds are too small, they're too finite to be able to grasp it. But if nothing else, if we believe that God loves us, and in fact he does, he loves us. Each and every one of you, God loves you. Believe that God loves you. The Bible says he knew you. He knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. He knew you when you were not. He knew you when you were not a you, and I was not a me. And he had a plan and a purpose for each one of us, and that is to do us good. Jeremiah 9:11. I know the plans that I have for you, and they are to do us good, to give us hope and a future. That future is ultimately to be with him forever. To be with him forever, because he loves us that much. So I want you to be, God wants you to be encouraged this morning. Yes, it's Mother's Day. It's good, it's honorable. It's the first commandment with promise to honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. First commandment with promise. Just even think about that. To love, honor your father and mother. No matter what you think about them, you may think they were not the best parents. Parenting is not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. Even as a Christian parent, is not an easy thing. Because there are the challenges that come up before us. But let me remind us too. Let's not forget that we really do have an enemy. We have an enemy. The devil didn't go anywhere. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's still here. But God has given us power and authority over every work of the enemy. Every work of the enemy. And I thought about myself. I said, you know what? I remember as a young Christian, if I thought the devil was coming near to the premises where I was, there was a boldness that rose up in me, and the authority that I knew that God had given me, I would use that authority. Then I found myself just kind of letting things slide. And the Lord reminded me, you got authority. You have power and authority over the enemy. And don't forget to use that. Don't forget to use that. You guys just talked about it. The power that's in the name of Jesus. He's given us that authority, and we must use it. We can no longer sit back and allow the enemy to just wreak havoc in our lives. We can no longer, I don't care if you're a baby Christian, you've got power and authority through Jesus Christ over the enemy. And when you come to understand what the Word of God says, what his promises are, what he has declared and decreed, you take that authority and use it, and not allow the enemy to just tear you apart, tear your family apart. Because God has so much that he desires to do in us and through us. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, again, I want to just appreciate, I want to just thank each one of you again for your your love and your many expressions of love. You never cease to amaze me. I love my cross-cultural church family. Pastor Greg, thank you for those kind words. So very kind. I appreciate it. It encourages me. Okay. Y'all give me a moment just to kind of simmer down here and catch my breath. I really want to obey the Lord this morning. I'm not, you know, this, I don't care anything about being churchy and I just want to obey the Lord. Yesterday, we had a beautiful ladies gathering. Thank you, Dr. Priscilla. During this gathering, there were several people, several women who had an opportunity to just share about their journey. There was so much that I learned from each one of them as far as Pastor talks about seeing Jesus through your eyes. There were so many wonderful things that came forth. Our dear Sister Pat right here, you guys, raise your hand, beautiful Sister Pat. She's one of our new members, Sister Pat Agibor. I didn't pronounce it right. It's close. Thank you. You've been very faithful even since you've been coming here. But I learned something about her that I didn't know yesterday, and that she never knew her mom. Your mom was, I assume she passed away when you were a baby. And I just want to say to you that God knew that. He knew that before your mother was even born. And certainly he knew it before you were born. But you're special. You're special to him. And with that story, there are lives that God would have you to touch, because there were things that you had to just get from the Lord. You talked about the community that helped to raise you. I believe it was your grandparents and aunts and maybe uncles, other relatives. And some of you might share something similar. You may share situations where, for whatever reason, your mother was not in your life. But understand that regardless as to how your situation was and maybe even is, God has a way of weaving and he has a way of doing things with that. I can't even say it. He has a way of working with that. And it goes beyond what is normal. It goes beyond what you may even feel like you've been cheated or it's unfair. But God knew and God knows what he was doing. I won't even try to give you answers because I don't know them. But I will say that because God is, first of all, good. And that's our theme for this year, proclaiming the goodness of God, the goodness and glory of God. God is good. Again, he is sovereign. He is righteous. He is just. He is faithful. And all of that. And we say this sometimes. God doesn't make mistakes. Maybe, you know, it sounds like a cliche. He does not make mistakes. And sometimes we allow these little cliches. Yes, God is good. God is good all the time. Yes. But if that is void of heart and conviction, it tends to some way minimize the potency of that truth. That's a profound truth. And it's a truth that that's the part of the foundation of our salvation. If we don't believe that God is good, certainly we don't believe that he has something planned for us for the rest of our lives, for our future. If we don't believe that he's good, the Bible says we must first, when we come to God, we must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Those are basics and things that we must hold on to. Again, they sound elementary, but they are profound and they are absolutely vital to our continuing to walk with the Lord and trust him. Back to what I said originally, these last 2.5 years have been so absolutely challenging. And just when it seems like things are beginning to fare off a bit, boom, here comes something else. And many of us find ourselves somewhat holding our breath, hoping to see some change. Holding our breath, hoping to see some change. But we don't see change in sight. Our world is filled with uncertainty, disappointments, turmoil, all kinds of situations and circumstances. And we have a tendency of looking to our government, looking to others to straighten this thing out. And it's not happening. It's not happening with the red. It's not happening with the blue. And I'm not going political today. I just want to throw that out. And these, have you found yourself? I mean, it can put us in such a place of confusion that we literally throw our hands up and say, God, you gotta fix this. God, you gotta fix this. They can't fix it. They can't fix it. These over here, I go along with this part of what they're saying, but it ain't really it. And then these over here, yeah, I can go along with a little bit of what they're saying, but it's still a whole bunch of stuff in there that's just so against God. And you feel like you're tossed around. But does anybody out there want to see some change? I know I do. I want to see some change. But don't be surprised if things don't get better. Just the other day, we heard that this variant, these variants, I think is, I've lost track. And then did it spike? It spiked, then it went down, did it? Does anybody know where it is now? It spiked again. We don't know, do we? We gotta trust God, y'all. We gotta trust God. We gotta trust God. But anyway, it seems that there are no solutions in sight, and we are literally, some of us, consumed by fear. We're consumed by fear. And if we watch the news all the time, you're going to be even more consumed by fear and sometimes lies, many times lies. And these, after a while, you get to a place where we can only handle so much fear and confusion After a while, it turns into despair. And you literally do throw your hands up. And the enemy's objective is for you to give up on God. Because you can't see God in it. We can't see God in it. And then those questions that we hide in our hearts, but God knows that they're there, where we think, God, if you're God and you're sovereign and you're powerful and you are great, why aren't you doing anything? But you know, there is something I believe is called the hidden hand of God. There are things that he's doing that's not visible to our eyes, but nonetheless, he's doing it. So just because it appears to us nothing is happening, don't trust your judgments on that. Don't trust your judgments on that. Because there is nothing that goes on in this world that God doesn't have knowledge of. Absolutely nothing. We see prophecies coming to pass. That gives us a little bit of hope because we know the Bible said, okay, this was going to happen, that is going to happen. So that gives us a little hope. But then again, boom, another situation hits. And we think, oh, God couldn't be in this, or he's not doing anything. But I want to share something with you that helped me out in this. Again, the enemy wants us to give up on God. These things will test our faith. And if we're not careful, will cause us, as I said earlier, to lose our footing. And the enemy will want us to do what Job's wife said, curse God and die. And the devil is a liar. And the devil is a liar. So because we are humans, just mere humans, we can easily give in to the circumstances, even get to the place where we feel completely helpless and hopeless. But I want to encourage us today is to hold on to hope. Hold on to hope. The Bible talks about being anchored in hope. Our hope is grounded in who God is. And as leaders, again, God wants us to be at a place where we can provide some kind of calm and some kind of wisdom to those that we lead, because again, many of us are walking in fear like never before. And it's my prayer that we don't despair, we don't lose hope, that we will be anchored in the Lord. Because God alone, God is our refuge and our strength. God is our refuge and our strength. And while I'm saying that, I know I've talked a lot. I haven't showed you guys in the scripture. Let's go to, I believe it's Psalm 46. Psalm 46 that talks about he's our refuge and our strength. Come on, Bible scholars, help me with that. 46, I believe verse 1 through 10. Yes. Can you put the whole thing up there for me, Byron? Save me a little time. I'm going to have to flip through. God is our refuge and strength. Oh, I shouldn't have told you to do that. Now it's too little. Thank you. Give a hand to Brother Byron. See, I cheated. I brought my Bible, but I'm still having you work. That's because I want you to put it up here so those folk out there that didn't bring their Bibles can see. That's why I did that. I'm looking out for you all because I brought my, look,
Is this not a Bible?
That's my, is my granddaughter's, my big old Bible. I love that Bible. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Not a distant one, but a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. God is our refuge. Oh, thank you. Because I really didn't want to read this whole thing. The nations raged. I'm sure like they're raging right now. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. Hallelujah. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Amen. So if God can cause the earth to be, hang on, let me go back and say it right. If he can cause all this stuff to happen, he can certainly handle these situations that are going on here. And he made it so, it's like when you really go back and read this, he covered so much. He talked about what we consider like the big things, the wars and, you know, the mountains shaking and, you know, all of these disastrous and horrible things. Then he said, even if in the midst of the hugest circumstance, and that is the earth to be removed, God can handle that. For real, think about it. The earth being removed. And God is still our strength. He will protect us. This talks about the power, the strength, and the protection of God. I hope this will sink in like it's beginning to sink in with me, because I will not stand here and say that this stuff didn't shake me, the things that are happening. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I didn't talk about it a lot, but not to people, but to the Lord. And God assured me, he encouraged me to hold on to hope, to be anchored in hope. There's a scripture that talks about this hope. Hebrews, let's go to Hebrews 6 and 16, I believe it is. Hebrews 6 and 16. Okay, I was going to try to beat you there this time, Byron. Is that it? Wait a minute. Let me go back to my Bible. Hebrews 6 and 16. It's the one that talks about we have this hope as an anchor. Is that it? Is that the wrong one? 19? Okay, but I think I did want to start before that. What
What did I say? 6 and 16. Y'all bear with me.
Okay, I want to go I wanted to start from the 16th verse. It kind of just helps us to lay it out. So you know, I don't want to just start in the middle of that. Men swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. There's a comma or something after that. Where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Okay, we'll stop there. I really do want us to focus on, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. And that anchor is firm and secure. Now, Deacon Card isn't here today, is he? I don't see Deacon Card. I was going to have Deacon Card talk to us about an anchor. And any of you guys out here fish? You got boats? Anybody got a boat? My country daddy had a boat. I know somebody. What happened to the fishermen? You became fishers of men. I know, you became fishers of men, didn't you? Fishers of men. And we're not talking about the ladies. Ladies, we're fishers of mankind. We're fishers of people, human beings. We don't, you know, we have to be careful if we say, I'm a fishers of, we got a ministry called Fishers of Men. It's all the single ladies. Y'all forgive me. You know I had to cut up before I leave. That one just popped in there, so I had to just go ahead. Okay. Y'all can get me. I deserve to be got on that one. But an anchor, but I was hoping there was somebody who could talk about an anchor. An anchor symbolizes safety and security, trust and confidence, hope and steadfastness. It's a device to keep a vessel, generally they're talking about a boat or a ship, in one place. I'm going over this kind of fast, but I want you to hear the Lord speak to you about your soul being anchored, about being anchored in hope as I talk about what an anchor is or what it does. A device to keep a vessel in one place to combat winds and currents that will move the vessel off course. Okay, stopping for a reason. A single anchor vessel should carry at least two temporary anchors of different types as a backup in case of failure. There's that community thing again. There's that we need someone else. It takes a village. We need some backup. We need some help. Larger vessels carry multiple anchors to keep them in place. Larger vessels carry multiple anchors to keep them in place. The anchor also keeps the boat away from the rocks.
When the boat pulls the anchor, it penetrates deeper into the surface, which creates more resistance. There's a whole lot that we can learn from that will help us in our spiritual walk just by understanding what an anchor is for. So when the Lord tells us, when the Word of God tells us to be anchored, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. We have an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It paints even a bigger picture of what it means to be anchored in hope. I love that. When I was looking up anchor, it really, really, really helped me to understand where when currents and winds come, that anchor helps to keep me in place. My being anchored in hope causes me to stand still when the winds are blowing. It causes me to be still and see the salvation of the Lord. It should cause me to stand still. It's something too about, you know, when you stand still, I thought about it in the military. I know we got some military folk in here. When you're called to attention, what does that mean? Stand still. When you're called to attention. And obviously when you're called to attention, it means that you got to focus on something. Even what your commander, whoever he is saying to you is something you got to focus on, or maybe even something you got to think about. I don't know. But it's something about a literal standing still that causes us to focus, to think, give attention to, and that's what we should do when the winds and the currents and the circumstances of life beat up against us. Is to stop, be still, don't move. Focus on the Lord, hear from God, wait on God, and even more importantly, trust God. You know, we have to make a conscientious decision to trust God. We really do. It's a choice. Because things we can't see, especially we can't see the end of, we get a little out of whack. But if we know that there's someone, if we're in a situation and there's someone with us who loves us, cares about us, we know they will protect us because they've done it. Let's just say your father. They've done it before. So they have this track record. Not only did they do it for you, you know of somebody else that they did it for and someone else. And then there are some other situations that are written that tells us about others that God protected and took care of, where God straightened out some situations. So we have, I'm so glad God left us his word. Suppose we didn't have the word of God. What if we didn't and we just had to kind of trust this person saying that and that's. But he left us his word. He left us the truth. And it gives us something to hold on to. Choose to trust God. God, I can't see it. I can't figure it out. But you're God. You're sovereign. You're powerful. You're mighty, you're holy, you're majestic. You created the earth. You knew me before I was formed in my mother's womb. You said you have plans for me that are good, that you give me a hope and a future. And then you want me to be with you forever. I choose to trust you. So I want to encourage us today to hold on to hope, to be anchored in hope. Choose to trust God even when you can't see it, when it doesn't look like it. He's all we got. There's nothing greater. There's nobody greater. There's nothing else. What does the song say? If thou withdraw thyself from me, wherever, where else should I go? I don't have anywhere to go. I choose to trust you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.